from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It's good to see you here. Special welcome to our guests and visitors this evening, and no matter if you are a lifelong member or a first-time visitor to St. John's, you are very kindly asked to sign the Friendship Register, and that is the black book that you should find at the end of every row of pews that helps us to serve you better. Thank you for doing that. In this Epiphany season, we've been having some aha moments. Today's aha moment from God's Word is that God wants us to love our enemies, to forgive freely when we are wronged, to overcome evil with good. To guide our worship, we will follow the order as it's displayed on the screen. And we will begin with our first hymn, 727, Where Charity and Love Prevail. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertl will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke 6, verses 27 through 38.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
And so let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, keep your family continually in true faith, so that those who rely only on the hope of your heavenly grace may be protected by your mighty power. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. Our first reading from God's Word is recorded in Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 15. Joseph, after enduring much suffering, and also then being the recipient of much of God's grace, has the opportunity to either hold it against those who wronged him, his brothers, or to forgive them. And by God's grace, Joseph forgives his brothers. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father alive?" His brothers could not answer him because they were terrified by his presence. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me, please." They came closer. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be upset or angry with yourselves for selling me to this place, since God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For 2 years now, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as survivors on the earth and to keep you alive by a great act of deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord over his entire household and ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Hurry, go up to my father and tell him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, where you will be close to me, you, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will take care of you here, for there are still 5 years of famine. Otherwise, you will come to ruin, you and your household and all that you have. Pay attention. Your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You shall tell my father about my position of honor in Egypt and about everything you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' He threw his arms around his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his shoulder. He kissed all his brothers and wept over them. After that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 103. We'll sing that together.
Thank you.
Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 14 through 21.
Here Paul tells us how to overcome evil with good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. Have the same respect for one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the humble. Do not think too highly of yourselves. Do not pay anyone back evil for evil. Focus on those things that everyone considers noble. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, maintain peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand.
We'll join together in speaking the gospel acclamation from Matthew 5.
Alleluia. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. This will be the basis for the sermon today. Jesus said, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, offer the other too. If someone takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes away your things, do not demand them back. Treat others just as you would want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? To be sure, even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners do the same thing. If you lend to those from whom you expect to be repaid, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners lend to sinners in order to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. In fact, the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, 729, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is the gospel lesson we heard, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Dear friends, it's called reciprocity, aka returning the favor. It's what happens when a neighbor clears your driveway from the latest snowfall. And then what do you want to do? Return the favor. You want to look for the opportunity to do the same thing for your neighbor. It's what happens at a restaurant when your server goes above and beyond and renders to you excellent service. And so what does that cause you to do? It causes you to probably leave an extra generous tip just to say thank you and to acknowledge their hard work. Each side does or gives something of equal or similar value in exchange for what is received. I mean, this is kind of like the foundational concept of business, isn't it? A fair exchange of goods and services. Those are the positive examples of reciprocity. There are negative ones too. And those negative ones are so common that we have phrases that just about everybody knows. Don't believe me? Let's try it out for a second. I'll start the phrase, you finish it. I for an... Oh, come on. Thank you. Don't get mad, get even. Fight fire with?
Fire.
Okay. Or to put it plainly, somebody does something bad to me, I do something bad to them. If someone insults me, I insult them back. If someone hits me, I hit them back. If someone makes me mad, I find a way to make them mad. If someone hurts me, I find a way to hurt them and maybe hurt them a little extra just to teach them a lesson. This too is returning the favor. This too is reciprocity. Or to put it in business terms, I guess we could say that these negative examples are an exchange of wrongs and disservices. And this is the way of the world, where everything is transactional. I give, I get. I get, I give. Reciprocity, yes, it does work in certain contexts like business. But this worldly way of reciprocity is not to be the way that we followers of Jesus operate. Worldly reciprocity is not to be the paradigm which individual Christians follow in their lives. And it certainly isn't the paradigm that groups of Christians as congregations follow. And boy, oh boy, does Jesus give us some quite vivid examples to drive that point home as he teaches us and all of his followers to practice Christ's reciprocity. When someone makes you their enemy, worldly wisdom would say, make them your enemy and treat them accordingly. But Christ says not to return the favor, not to repay in kind, but to repay hate with love. To repay cursing with blessing. To repay mistreatment with kindness. And then there's the really challenging thing. That's if somebody hits you, you don't immediately respond by balling up your fist and giving them your best right cross. No, instead, if they hit you on this side, you turn to them the other one. If someone takes your coat, you say, here, you want my shirt as well? And let's be clear about what Jesus is and is not saying here, dear Christians. He is not saying that you, my people, need to make yourselves the object of somebody else's abuse. He isn't saying that self-defense for the preservation of one's own or somebody else's well-being is out of bounds. That's not Jesus' point. We got to remember the context here. Jesus' goal is to snap people out of thinking in this worldly reciprocity kind of way, to jolt them out of their quid pro quo mindset. And so he's giving us some very in-your-face examples. His overall point is that this treat others how they treat you mentality is absolute garbage. It is the product of sin-corrupted, selfish minds. And it is destructive. I mean, just think about that for a second. If someone hurts me and I respond to that hurt by hurting them, what have I accomplished? I have accomplished doubling the hurt. Congratulations. And once I hurt that person, even if it's in response to what they did, 9 times out of 10, what are they going to want to do? Hurt me back, and it becomes this vicious cycle. And if you don't believe me, just look at any sibling relationship ever. Those sibling rivalries and conflicts very, very rarely stopped at just one set of blows being exchanged, right? So if I repay evil for evil, all I do is multiply the evil, multiply the pain, multiply the sin. And that's not what we want as Christians, right? We don't want to multiply the sin and the pain and the misery. We want sin diminished, don't we? We want to multiply the good. We heard the Spirit-inspired words of Paul from Romans 12, didn't we? Do not be overcome by evil. Well, I make it pretty easy for evil to overcome me if I, myself, am multiplying the evil, right? Overcome evil with good. You cannot fight fire with fire. You cannot fight evil with more evil. So this worldly, reciprocal, treat others the way they treat you mindset has to change. It has to be done away with. And instead, Jesus wants his followers to listen to what he says in verse 31, because this is the paradigm. Treat others just as you would want them to treat you. And think about what that does. It shifts your focus from being on you to actually being on the person that you're dealing with. Yes, following this Christ-like reciprocity forces you to put yourself in the other person's shoes and evaluate the circumstance from their perspective. It forces you to consider what's going to be good for that person. So I'm not looking to get something out of it first. I'm thinking of what would benefit me if I were in that person's shoes. even if that person is my enemy. Especially if that person is my enemy. Because yes, the only thing that overcomes evil is good, and what God says is good. The only thing that overcomes hate is love. The only thing that overcomes pain is comfort. Blessing overcomes curses. Prayer overcomes insults. Compassion overcomes hurt. And all of these things have not me in mind, but my neighbor. And what would be good for them? Even if that neighbor is mistreating me. And this is so hard to do. No doubt about it. Because every sin-corrupted fiber of my sinful nature wants nothing more than to get even when I am wronged. To think of me only and not somebody else. Especially not if that person has hurt me. Yes, this is hard, but dear Christians, God does not call upon us to do what is easiest. He says in his word, we must through many trials enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many sadly travel down it. Jesus does not call upon us to make sure that we are comfortable. He says, if you want to follow him, what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. He doesn't say, do what seems best or what feels good to you in the moment. Go your own way. No, he says quite simply, follow me. Not follow you, follow me. God, the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Jesus' way is different, and it's supposed to be that way. Because his way is not just good for us eternally, it's good for everyone else too. He asks, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Everybody's doing that. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Everybody does that. If you lend expecting to be repaid, what credit is that to you? Everybody does that. No, do the hard thing. Love your enemies. Do good to others, especially when it's difficult, especially when it's inconvenient, especially when it hurts. Don't lend expecting a return. Give expecting nothing. Why? Is God looking for us to clear some bar of goodness so that we can get ourselves into heaven if we mimic him closely enough? No. No, do those things because that is what God has already done for you. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He is merciful, and you, dear Christians, are living, walking, talking, breathing proof of that. Because Jesus didn't come to serve righteous people who earned that service. He came to save sinners who never could. He came to people who are selfish, to people who multiply sin and evil. He came to the thankless and to the violent. He came to the hateful and to the spiteful. He came to ones who had made themselves his enemies. But he responded by lovingly doing all that was necessary to redeem them. To redeem me. To redeem you. He gave his body to beating, his brow to a crown of thorns, his back to the whip, his face to insults and mocking, to false accusations. He gave his hands, his feet to nails and to the cross. He gave his soul to sorrow and suffering for the sins of the world, and his life to death. We sang it in the psalm. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. No, instead, he has spared us from condemnation and has graciously given us the guarantee of everlasting life in his resurrection. And so before I go holding anyone's sins against them, before I look to repay anyone any evil for anything, I first consider that my sins were not held against me. They were held against Christ. And as a result, I have forgiveness. And that kind of forgiveness changes us. It empowers and it motivates and it drives. And if you doubt that it can do all of those things, look no further than the example we had in our Old Testament reading. Consider Joseph, who had been singled out and ganged up on by his siblings thanks to some overblown jealousy. And they let that hatred of their brother grow and fester against him so much that they intended to kill him. But then they opted just to throw him into a cistern, into a pit, and then sell him to slavers. And they considered that a mercy after all. And as a result of that, he spent years as a slave. Years after that, rotting in an Egyptian prison, forgotten about by everyone but God. Even though he hadn't committed a crime to put himself there, he had actually done the right thing, and it got him landed in the clink. But by God's gracious providence and some miraculous revelation, he ended up elevated to being second in command over all of Egypt. Only Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, surpassed him in power. And who shows up one day looking for food in the middle of a famine? The brothers who had mistreated and hated him so. And there he is in a position where he has every authority and every power to do whatever he wants to his brothers, and no one would bat an eyelash. And what does he do? Does he put them through a nightmare similar to the one that he had been through on their account? Does he put them to death? He forgives. He chooses not to hold the terrible things they had done to him against them. He releases them from that debt. And on top of that, he sends for the whole family and he puts them up in the most fertile, prosperous land in Egypt in the middle of a 7-year famine. And he uses his power and his authority to ensure that they are well taken care of. If God can do all of that in Joseph, then he can do it in you and in me. So enough of the hurt. enough of the grudge holding, enough of the hostility, enough of this eye for eye, fight fire with fire nonsense. Because we have a Savior who has met our sin with grace, our hostility with love, and our failure with forgiveness. So may He mercifully and powerfully grant that we would be equipped and driven by His love to do the same and practice His Christ-like reciprocity. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the prayer of the church. Gracious Father, in Christ Jesus and through faith in Him, we approach You with freedom and confidence. We ask You to mercifully hear our prayer. You caused Your light to shine that first epiphany. You revealed Your glory as God's only Son and our Savior. Shine that light in the darkness of our hearts. Drive far from us all our fears, all our doubts. Give us new confidence each day and new power each day to live as children of light, reflecting the merciful love You have shown to us, repaying evil with good, repaying hatred with kindness, repaying sin with Your forgiveness. Bless the work of Your church here and throughout the world. By Your Holy Spirit, make known far and wide the mystery of Christ Jesus. Give strength to all workers in Your gospel ministry and bless the word they proclaim. Bring those living in darkness into the light of life. Give guidance and wisdom and strength and health to our government officials. Direct their rule for our good as it is pleasing to You. Give us hearts and lips that honor and respect those You have placed in authority over us. And remember, merciful Lord, those who are ailing in body or mind. Guide all who attend to their needs. Comfort Your children and all those who love them, and assure them of Your presence and Your promise to be with them in every circumstance of life. These and all our needs are known to You, gracious Father. Mercifully hear us now as we bring You our private prayers. Guide us by the light of Your word until that day comes when You bring us home to Yourself to join Your people from every nation, tribe, people, and language, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And it's in His holy name that we pray. Amen. Reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, please do make use of the alms box, which is in the back, on your way out if you haven't already yet. And with that, we will continue our worship with our third hymn, hymn 767, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We'll close our worship tonight with hymn 697, May We Your Precepts, Lord, Fulfill.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream us online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum, cable channel 10, and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service at St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church at 624 East Street of Baraboo will be greatly appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer today is Don Harmon, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Things to bring to your attention. First of all, the reminder, if you haven't done so already, please do sign the Friendship Register before you leave. Thank you for doing that. Secondly, this weekend, this Sunday, after worship at 1 p.m. down at Thunderbird Lanes, we have our annual St. John's Bowling Bash. Thanks to some generosity of various people, just about the whole thing is free. So soda and pizza is going to be provided, the cost of the lanes is going to be provided, and actually shoe rental is going to be covered as well. All you need to do is sign up. At this point, we have 80 people registered for that, from both church families and school families. So if you would like to come and and rub elbows and get to know each other better. That's what this event is for. We would love to have you. Just simply let us know that you're coming so that we can let the bowling alley know. Secondly, there's two important things happening on Sunday, March 2nd, so that's a week from Sunday. First of all is a call meeting for extending a call to somebody to serve as our principal in our school for next year. Secondly is our second open house, and it's not just an early childhood program open house, it is a whole school open house. So would like to enlist your help for that. If you know of anybody who may be looking for a school for their child or children, let them know about that open house. It's Sunday, March 2nd, beginning at 10:30 and going until 1 o'clock. So right after church, everybody's going to be over there for anybody who wants to come by, check out the school, talk to the faculty, ask questions, get information, all that fun stuff. I think that's the important announcements, with the exception of Jim.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The connection between needing God and knowing God. Dr. Michael Ziegler's message this week on the Lutheran Hour.
If you don't need God, you won't know God.
There are some things you really need to know before you need to know them, like how to change a flat, how to purify water, and how to be put right with God. Dr. Michael Ziegler talks about our need for God, our need to know God, today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour.